On the front page of the Sunday Times today, there is an astonishing story about a young autistic man who has been confined to a small, secure apartment in a hospital for more than 4 years. The 24-year-old man is known as Patient A, and he is caught in a vicious cycle. His confinement makes his violent episodes worse, which means the authorities say he has to be kept in confinement. Times Radio's breakfast programme spoke this morning to Alexis Quinn, a former PE teacher who has autism. Alexis experienced a mental health crisis at 27 when her brother died and she had a baby. She was passed between 12 different hospitals and, like Patient A, was kept in a secure unit.
I was held in long-term segregation, like Patient A. And I guess what's frustrating about it is that, you know, often it's deemed, you know, that we have challenging behaviour. But I'm quite sure that if you put any member of the public and locked them in a room and fed them through a hatch and starved them of human contact, that they themselves would become challenging and want to get out. So, I mean, that's really what happened for me. But, you know, this isn't seen as a human rights scandal. It isn't seen as human rights abuses. And what often happens is you get locked in that space and you don't see the light of day again. You know, I left the community as a PE teacher, as a mother, as a daughter, as a sister. And as soon as those doors closed, I was only seen as something to be fixed. And, you know, it's dehumanising.
So why does this happen? Why do autistic people get sectioned? And what is the best course of action? Let's speak to Stephen Simblett, QC, who is a civil liberties and mental health barrister at Garden Court Chambers. Stephen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We're also joined by Tim Nichols, who's the head of policy and public affairs at the National Autistic Institute. Tim, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Stephen, let's start with you. Talk to us about the legal basis for someone to be placed in confinement like this. Do you agree that there are cases where this is necessary?
Well, there is a procedure under the Mental Health Act where if it's determined by a clinical team, to use shorthand, that somebody needs compulsory confinement in hospital in order to be assessed, or in this case, because I understand that the patient A is detained under Section 3, in order to be treated, then there are powers to detain people compulsorily. And there is some sort of oversight through the legal system in that people are entitled to apply for their discharge to the mental health tribunal. So in general terms, there are procedures to confine people. What seemed to be the particular concern and worry in this case are the conditions in which patient A is being kept, as well as the long-term continued damage to his health and welfare from the point of view of his mum. But in general terms, those are the procedures, and there is some sort of independent oversight from the Mental Health Tribunal, which comprises a legal member, a medical member, and somebody else. So there are procedures to review it.
And Tim, tell us a little bit about how this actually plays out in practice. This case seems pretty shocking. Is this something you see a lot of?
Unfortunately, this is something that we do see happening too much. There is a developing, well, actually quite long-standing now, crisis in getting the right support for autistic people in the community, which has led to currently just over 1,000 autistic people being inpatients in mental health hospitals in this way. Now, their treatment and their environments might not all look the same, and I think that's important to bear in mind. But what we do know that is because of often within these hospitals misunderstandings and lack of understanding about what autism is, and where behaviour that may be perceived as challenged but actually is distressed behaviour, it is a manifestation of someone's distress, people can end up subject to restraint, to long-term seclusion, as we've seen here, and over-medication as well. And part of that comes down to the way that the system is geared up at the moment around treatment. Actually, autism is not a mental health condition. It's a lifelong neurodevelopmental condition. It can't be cured, it can't be treated. Generally speaking, what autistic people in these hospitals need is some mental health treatment to support them with mental health problems if they have them. But rather than treatment, support to get back out into the community, into the right situations for them. Even the Mental Health Act Code of Practice says that inpatient settings like these are very unlikely to be helpful for autistic people. But we know that the average length of stay is around 5.5 years. So something is clearly very broken.
Stephen, what would you do if a potential client approached you with a case like this? How can you challenge a decision as a family member?
Well, the family member can of themselves ask for a mental health tribunal, and the patient can him or herself ask for a tribunal. The difficulty is, for all the reasons that Tim has been saying, as to what we seem to end up with, or quite often end up with, is people being detained in for a long term, partly because their response to being detained is one of distress, and that is perceived, for all the reasons that Tim being saying, as something that is indicative of a risk to them or a risk to other people or whatever. And precisely being a risk to oneself or to others are part of the criteria for compulsory confinement under the Mental Health Act. So it is a bit of a sort of a vicious circle. I mean, you asked me in very broad terms what the procedures were. Those are the procedures, and obviously those are available to patient A, and for whatever reason, so far the tribunal has concluded that he needs to be detained. But the perhaps more interesting and more concerning aspect of this is the conditions of his detention. There is a principle that under the Mental Health Act that people should be detained, or some people should be dealt with under the least restrictive principle. And if they are detained, then that principle still applies. So for instance, there are a number of restrictions on people being secluded or segregated from other people on the ward, which from the article in the paper, I understand is a particular concern here, because poor old patient A seems to be living entirely on his own in an inappropriate setting, which essentially, I've not read any reason why the hospital consider that it's a good place for him to be kept, but it's the conditions of detention are a separate issue from whether he should or shouldn't be detained.
And Tim, tell us a little bit about the changes you'd like to see to the system. What are the other options available?
The best situation for any autistic person, just like everyone else, is that they are able to live in and around their families, in the community, living as independently as possible. And so that's the kind of solution that you should be looking towards. That will depend on an individual autistic person's needs. Autism is called a spectrum condition for a reason, and it's because while some people may need round-the-clock care from very highly trained staff, other people will need a bit more understanding from the people around them in their life, perhaps some reasonable adjustments at work, and perhaps, say, if they have anxiety and depression, just like anyone else, they can go and talk to professionals that will understand what it means to be both anxious or have depression and be autistic as well. That's the ideal situation that we want to get to. In order to get there, there are a couple of really key things that need to happen. One is around investment in the right community services close to people's homes, so we're not seeing patient A, according to the article today, is 2 hours away from home. I've heard of people being placed at the other end of the country from where their families are and their support networks and their safety networks. So more investment in the community services that are needed is absolutely crucial. There's also much more training across staff, across health and social care, to make sure that those misperceptions and misunderstandings about autism aren't made quite so regularly, and actually a lot of detentions could probably be avoided in that way. And the final thing is around the law and the way the Mental Health Act itself applies. At the moment, you can be sectioned for being autistic despite the fact that it is not a mental health condition. Now, the government is proposing to change that in a number of very welcome changes to the Mental Health Act in the next year or two. And frankly, from the numbers that we see, that cannot come soon enough. There needs to be better safeguards for autistic people to make sure that mistaken decisions aren't made. Now, Stephen made a very good point that there are two separate issues here, that of the detention and that of the conditions. And he's exactly right. But actually, if we're going to bring the numbers down across the country, which the government has expressed a desire to over several years, we need to make sure that we're tackling both of those things, because only tackling one side of this argument is never going to work.
Stephen Simlett, QC, and Tim Nichols from the National Autistic Institute, thank you so much for joining us.